Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, at whatever time you're watching. Welcome to Business Matters Podcast with Laura Nowlin. And so first I want to give a big shout out to CS Now Staffing, our sponsor. You can get a hold of them at 702-902-2448. And also Creativa Consulting with Andrea Michelle. You want to make sure you reach out to her. Don't you guys love our set? She's the lady behind the scenes, all right? But anyways, let's go ahead and get started. I have Monica Colburn today with me. Thank you so much, Monica, for coming today to just chat. And remember, it's a conversation. There's just a lot of eavesdroppers, okay?
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Absolutely, Monica. You know you're one of my mentors. I look up to you very much, okay?
Thank you.
I want to start with, where does Monica come from? Where were you born? Mm. How did you get to Las Vegas, Nevada? Are you a native? Mm. Tell us, you know, about you personally.
Well, I'm an island girl, as I like to refer myself to. I'm originally from Hawaii.
Nice.
So I was born and raised there. And what brought me to Las Vegas was a job transfer. I was working for a large bank at the time. But I've been here for 27 years now, so I joke that I'm part native,
yes.
Las Vegas, because I've been here for so long, yes.
Yeah, so you left the Big Island, but then isn't Nevada, also Las Vegas, actually considered an island for many people that live in Hawaii?
Well, it's so true. I mean, they call it the Ninth Island.
The Ninth,
so
okay.
Many people from Hawaii actually move here. It's mm-hmm. expensive to live in Hawaii. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah, so they come here to gamble, have a good time, mm-hmm. so a lot of them have ended up actually moving.
So you came here in the banking industry. Mm-hmm. When I met you years ago, you were also in the banking
yes.
industry. Now, you've had a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
You're right? You're now a big risk taker.
Is that what you call it?
Yes. So tell us about your business. Tell us, you know, what is it that you do? Because I know that there's a lot of involvement that you have in the community.
Thank you. So yeah, you know, I had a successful banking career. I was in banking mm-hmm. for over 20 years.
That's a long time.
And most of my career was spent working with businesses. I just loved business.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2019, I decided to leap off the cliff, as I'd like to call it,
yeah.
to start my own business. So I left my senior management position for the bank I was working at the time to start Nevada Business Advisors. And the business model was dreamt and created because I saw what businesses were going through, their struggles, their challenges
yes.
as a banker.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew there was an opportunity to create a business where we could provide a one-stop solutions provider mm-hmm. for businesses, whatever that looked like. So we do offer a lot of different services. We're advisors at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But some of our core services is we assist businesses who have a financing need. We will help source financing options for them. If they're looking to get certified, so woman-owned, mm-hmm. minority-owned, veteran-owned, you know about this.
Yes, definitely.
If they are looking to enter into government contracting, but they don't know how to navigate, that's a whole nother animal, as we like to call it. And then just collaborations and connections. We're really good about connecting people. So if we have a client, if we have a business that's looking to connect with an individual or mm-hmm. another business, we help to make those connections or just other business resources in our community.
Yeah, and Monica, you keep saying we.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a team then.
We do have a team. It didn't start that way.
You're right. It never
it
starts
me,
that way.
It was me, myself, and I.
Right. Right.
As many businesses start, right? You're
right.
Starting on your own.
Yes.
But especially women entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize 85% of them are what they call solopreneurs, meaning they're doing mm-hmm. it all. They're wearing all the hats. They're doing everything, which is why they can't scale and grow like their male counterparts.
So what advice then do you give to someone like that? Because I know that for me, it's been pivoting for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up, down, where you say, okay, like for me, for staffing, I try to get out of the recruiting seat. But then once I get out of the recruiting seat, you think you got it all together and you're growing your team. And then it's like, guess what? Mm-hmm. Ah, I have to downsize again because something is happening.
Yes.
So what is the secret behind it? What's the difference from a male entrepreneur and a female entrepreneur? Is it that maybe that we think too much with our heart? What is it?
I feel it's
a control issue.
Yeah. I feel it's a combination of things.
Okay.
Women, first of all, we're natural nurturers.
Yes,
and
we
we're,
are.
But we're great relationship builders. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's a lot of emotion connected to it. And that's part of it. The other part of it is delegation. Uh-huh. Women are, in general, not all, but mm-hmm. women in general, want to have that control. Or I can do it better than you, so I'm going to do it, right? And so they don't delegate. They don't outsource, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to have an employee, right? When I say we, it's employees. It could be independent contractors that's helping you and your business. The other thing is I feel men in general just are better risk takers, right? And women are more paralysis by analysis. And so it can take us, I feel, a longer time to make a decision than men in general. And again, this is just from my experience working with a lot of business owners.
Yes.
That's what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. So what I find is that I appear to be making a very rapid decision, but behind the scenes, people don't even understand that I've been processing it in my head for weeks, sometimes even months, before I actually even pull the trigger.
Yes, and that's what I mean,
right?
It's just taking a longer time, calculating the risks, right? And that's where I call it paralysis by analysis, because it's better to make a quick decision. Well, take your company, for example, right? We hear the term, it's better to hire slow and fire fast.
Right.
And a lot of times we may hold on to employees or team members. It's because of that emotional connection. They're part of the family. They've been with me for 3 years. I can't let them go.
Oh, you love them all.
I know. And at the end of the day, you have to make the best business decision for your business. Otherwise, they could be a liability.
Totally. And not just that, you could sink the whole
exactly.
ship. And then you've completely lost control of everything.
Right, right.
Yeah. What advice would you give someone who has never applied for a loan? They don't know how to prepare to even get ready to go see a banker. What would be your advice to them?
Number one is ask yourself, what do you need the loan for, right? What is the reason you're looking for capital? Then I feel one of the top issues when businesses go and ask for financing is what you just said. They don't know how much they need. What are they going to use it for? And how are they going to pay that loan back?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, when you're approaching a bank or a lender for the financing, they're in the risk management business. So they're asking themselves, can this business pay us back our loan? So to get prepared, it's things like if you're a startup business, you will need a business plan.
Right.
You'll need projections. 3 years. So think 3 years out of your business. What do you think your business is going to generate in terms of revenue and expenses? How's your personal credit? If you have personal credit issues, and this is whether you're a startup business or an existing business, you want to make sure that you work on getting that personal credit in a better position. Because if your credit score is in the 500s or even in the low 600s and you've got late payments collections, it's going to be more challenging for you to get the financing that you need. So there's steps that you need to take as a business owner first before you go and knock on that bank's door and say, I need some money, right? So those are just a few things.
No. Yeah, and you talked a little bit about, you know, your books, right? Having all the projections and everything put together. When do you think a business needs to hire a bookkeeper or hire a CPA? You know, when is it that time where it's like, okay, now I've really got to go to a CPA? Or, you know,
I'm not doing QuickBooks on my own anymore. Mm-hmm. I've got to get that bookkeeper.
Great question. I would say even when you're starting off, mm-hmm. at least use apps. Like Wave is a great app to start with, okay. for example. It is a bookkeeping software app, mm-hmm. but it's at least a way to track what you're doing. Okay, that's number one. Number two, before you make that move to get a bookkeeper, you need to make sure that your financial records are in place just on the basic level, meaning do you have a separate account for your business from your personal?
Keeping it separated,
That's the basics, because a lot of small businesses, especially when they start, mm-hmm. don't realize the importance of tracking that separately, right? So when is it the right time? When you start hiring, whether it's employees, when you start engaging independent contractors, I say when you start generating revenue and you are paying expenses, mm-hmm. at least have a conversation with the bookkeeper first. Yeah. You don't need to jump and get an accountant right away. Wait until that business grows, because it's going to cost you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, mm-hmm. they're not cheap. They're very expensive, especially that CPA.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you're already needing a CPA and you don't bring that CPA on, it could actually cost you even more.
Exactly.
Exactly. Right?
And we see that, right?
Yes.
And the other piece to that is know your numbers. Mm-hmm. Understand. Read your bank statements. Look at them. Don't be afraid to look at your bank statements. And if you're not using any kind of accounting software, take classes.
Yes.
Learn the basics. Because what you don't want to be in a position is, especially when you're growing your business, is when you go and look for the financing and the banker is asking you, what does this number, and you don't know, mm-hmm. and you say, I need to check with my bookkeeper, or I need to check with my accountant. You should always know your numbers, at least on a basic level.
What do you recommend with someone who maybe is using already a bookkeeper or a CPA and something just doesn't seem right?
Follow your instinct, number mm-hmm. one. If you're looking at your numbers and something looks awry, have a conversation with whomever it is that's doing your books. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. Very important. Bookkeepers make mistakes.
Yes.
Accountants
human.
Make mistakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not all of them are good, right?
Right.
And so if you find yourself in a situation like something is not, get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Will it cost you? Probably.
Right.
But there's other resources out there. So your banker. Talk to your banker and say, mm-hmm. you know, I think something's awry with my numbers. Do you mind taking a look at it?
Right.
They'll do that for free.
You know, and I never thought about going to the banker and asking mm-hmm, the banker. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Yes.
Yeah, they will do that for free. And depending on the skill set of the banker, mm-hmm. they should be able to identify it pretty easily by asking a lot of questions. But don't be afraid to ask the questions. Just because they have the title doesn't mean they know everything or they're perfect at what they do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you have to get to that point where you even have to fire
mm-hmm.
that CPA,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is not nice to do, but sometimes you just have to
do it. You have to do it, yes.
You talked a little bit about bankers. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about banker relationship. Mm-hmm. How do you build them? You know, do you just go into a bank and say, okay, I'm here to open up an account? What do you recommend on that part?
So number one, I'm a firm believer, no matter the size of your business, no matter how long you've been in business, you need to start forming that relationship. So step number one, if you're going into a bank, a credit union, wherever you decide to do your banking, and you say, I want to open a business account, but I also want to get introduced to the business specialist, to the business banker. There's different titles, right?
Right.
The reason that's important, because they are exclusively working with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to start that from the beginning. But especially as you start growing your business needs are going to change, right? And depending on the revenues of your business, banks will have different departments, different skill set of bankers, but you want that relationship. Some of them may be called relationship managers.
Okay.
And so they can be an advocate for you when you're looking to get financing, right?
Right.
They could also give you referrals, because guess what? They're opening accounts for businesses day in and day out. So if a business comes along and says, you know what, I need to start hiring people, and they go, oh, I have a client, CS Now Staffing.
Right.
I'm going to make a referral to them. So there's a lot that they can do, but it's critical to have that banking relationship. And we saw this during COVID.
Oh,
when,
yes.
When the relief funding was out there, right?
Right.
So.
Yes, if you didn't have a relationship with a banker, it's like no one was available really to talk to you. They're
right.
like, sorry, we can't help you.
Right.
We have to help our clients
exactly.
first, the ones that we have relationships
exactly.
with. That was horrible.
Yes.
But yes, I think that was an awakening for many small businesses. I've been very blessed to actually be dealing with the VPs in the banking industry. Even when I first started, I've developed a relationship. And so then it was a lot, it's a lot easier to sit down and have those conversations with the bankers, right? And continue growing in that area. Let's talk a little bit more about what you're doing with the SBA, if we can.
Sure.
And then so that way we can, you know, talk about the awesome program of Thrive. And what, let me tell you, when I found out that you were now selected as the instructor, I'm like, that was such a blessing to have you, someone who's been in our community for so many years, very knowledgeable in banking, and you really, every time I've seen you, from when I met you all the way through, you're the type of person that always goes out of their way for people. You give more than the 100%. You truly care. And it shows. So to you, for you to be selected for Thrive to be the instructor, it that's a big blessing for our city, for our state. It is.
Thank you.
No,
Maura.
Thank you, Monica. I'm telling you. I was like, whoop whoop.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel blessed and grateful because I was a guest expert. Before it was known as Thrive, it was known as Emerging Leaders. And so I would go in and talk about the financing and how they came prepared to get financing. Yeah. So when I started Nevada Business Advisors and when the Thrive program started a couple years ago is when I got approached by SBA District Office. They said, Monica, we need a coach for the cohort. Will you consider putting your name in the hat? I thought about it. I said, okay, I'll do it. And I was selected.
Yes.
And so this year came around, and I waited. In fact, I didn't even put my name in the hat until past the deadline, and SB asked me again. And the reason is anytime I put my name on something, I want to make sure I can commit to it.
Yes.
And I have the capability and the capacity to do it. And that's why. So I was late to the party,
okay.
But I put my name in the hat and I got selected again, and it's been a true blessing. So and this year's cohort graduates this Thursday, so it's
we're
excited
about that. Yes, definitely excited about that. And so right now you're coaching me. So let's talk a little bit about more about your coaching services. How can someone get a hold of you? And then I can just speak about my experiences with you. I can tell you that you truly are a knowledgeable person. You're willing to listen and really hear the entrepreneur out. It gets very lonely. It really does. When you're an owner of a company, you're going through issues. You can't really talk to just anybody. You have to be very careful what you disclose to your team.
Right.
And so having that person that I'm able to talk to and, you know, and keep it real is awesome. It really is. So talk a little bit more, if you can, about the services that you offer and then how they can get a hold of you and what type of businesses should seek you out.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. I appreciate those. Thank you. So advisory services. So if a business has a need for, and you call it coaching, And that's for certain clients who need that more executive coaching, right, which we do offer. But really, it's the business advising.
Yeah.
And so if a business is struggling, their sales are stagnant, and they're having issues internally, operations, mm-hmm. you know, processes, those are things that make us happy. Not the business owner, but it makes us happy because we know more than likely we can solve that problem. We're problem solvers, and that's how we approach it. Financing, certifications, government contracting navigation, those are our core. We're currently working with a client right now on their business process reviews, because whatever is happening within the business is not the dots are not connecting. So as a result, productivity is being affected.
Yes.
They're spending more money than they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Their clients are not happy because their response time is slower. So there's broken links that are happening. So we go in, we assess what's going on, and we give them the findings and what they can do to improve it. So that's at a very high level what
yes,
we do.
No, you do all kinds of stuff. Like, and at different levels.
At different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so we touch different industries, construction, manufacturing, professional services.
Mm-hmm.
The only two industries we really don't have any experience in, nor do we want to, because it's just not our expertise.
Mm-hmm.
It's anybody in the cannabis industry or adult entertainment, right?
Okay,
and it's
yes.
Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. But,
right.
But that's on purpose. And so they can find us at our website, which is NevadaBusinessAdvisors.com. Email info@NevadaBusinessAdvisors.com. We're also on LinkedIn. We're very active on LinkedIn.
Yes, you are.
And then our phone number is 702-805-8900. And we do offer initial consultations at no cost. So that's something they can schedule with us online.
Right. What word of advice would you leave the audience? And you can look into your camera now and talk to actually the audience, the one that's been eavesdropping our conversation. Just in closing, what would you like to say to them?
Well, where's my camera? I want to make sure I'm looking at the right camera.
Okay.
So I would say, if you have a dream to start your own business, number one, do your research. Make sure you have a product and service that someone wants and is willing mm-hmm. to purchase from you, right? Because a lot of businesses will just go out there, spend all this money, and then not have the audience for it. That's number one. Number two, if you're starting or you're already in business, there's a lot of resources out there available to you at no cost. We are a business, so our services are paid for, but know that there's help out there for you. Number three is, when you are looking to do business with others, whether it's businesses, large corporations, etc., ask and find your community and your tribe that mm-hmm. you can bounce off ideas, get advice, get guidance. Word of warning, not all advice is going to be good advice, right? So don't always go to the same person. Don't ask your family member. Your family thinks they know a lot. They don't always do. So I would say that. And then lastly, prepare and be proactive versus reactive. 2025 is gearing up to be a great year for small business. There's a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what can you do to maximize and capitalize on it?
Great. What's the name of your company again?
Nevada Business Advisors.
Awesome. You heard it here at Business Matters Podcast with Laura Nowlin. Thank you so much for tuning in. Till the next time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monica.